Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and for our show today, I have three quilting guests, and we're going to be talking all kinds of fun and interesting things. My first guest is Jill Finley of Jalili Studios, and when we have her on, we're going to be talking about patchwork and applique and tools and things like that. Then I have Nanette Merrill of Frida's Hive, and Nanette is a fabulous designer. She loves to work in sort of a vintage modern style, and we're going to find out how she accomplishes that. She's got some great tips and hints for us. Then we have Roseanne Kerms coming back on the show, and you know, you've listened to Roseanne several times. She's got great tips and information today. We're going to be talking about fabric selection and big block quilts and behind the scenes things. Great stuff. So let's start off with Jill. Jill Finley of Jalili Studios is here, and she's a regular contributor to American Patchwork and Quilting magazines, and her fun and spunky spirit, I'm just so excited to have her on to chat. So hi, Jill, how are you?
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So I was just telling people about your Cherry's Jubilee when you presented that at your booth to Elizabeth Beasy, one of our editors.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
Yeah, the first quilt I had in the magazine, and it was so fun because I had brought the quilt top with me. It wasn't finished, but I took it to market just in case, and Elizabeth came and asked if I had anything I wanted to submit to the magazine, and I said, yeah, I've got it right here, and she accepted it on the spot, and I was in heaven. I was so excited to be in that magazine. That's the best one ever.
That, I just love that story because it's, you know, it just shows that, you know, you can be prepared, right, Jill? You doesn't even, you know, just whip that out and it was ready to go.
Yeah, just in case. I mean, I didn't even know what I might need it for. Just, you know, that hadn't occurred to me, but it was good to have it and I was ready, and we had to make a few little changes on it so that it would work with the format of the magazine, and it turned out to be a really good seller for us.
That's great. Can you tell us a little bit about your projects, Jill? Because I always think of you as someone who really likes to mingle patchwork and applique.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I started out doing just patchwork, and I loved piecing, and I was a little bit afraid of applique, which I think is kind of common with quilters, because it's handwork, and so we think it's just hard and takes a lot of time. But as I learned how to do it and developed some of my own techniques, I've really come to love it, and I've always loved the look of applique. You just can't beat it. It adds so much to a quilt. It really helps soften a piece of quilt. So that's my favorite thing, is putting the two together and then teaching that to people who are afraid like I was.
So what method of applique do you prefer, Jill?
Well, I usually do a freezer paper and starch method, so I turn and prepare all my pieces first. But I've tweaked it a little bit so that I do a few things in my method that make it a little easier, like I use a thicker freezer paper, heavier freezer paper, so that the edges don't fold when you're pressing it.
Oh, really?
And
Where do you get heavier?
It's just regular freezer paper, and I just layer four sheets together and press them together, and they fuse together. Mm-hmm. And if you put them all with the shiny side down, then when you fuse it, you'll have one shiny side and one dull side, and you can still fuse it, press it to the back of your fabrics to cut out your applique pieces.
And then you're turning over, then you're using that like that's your finished size shape, like a leaf. It's the finished size of the leaf is done in the freezer paper. And then what's your next step?
And then the next step is you cut out the fabric around the template, leaving about a quarter inch seam allowance so that you have fabric to turn. Mm-hmm. And then I paint that little seam allowance edge with some spray starch, and just on the edge so that the whole piece doesn't get wet and then it doesn't get all crumply and foldy and stiff. And then I just, you know, there's a little video on my website that shows the whole method, but I use an awl to hold it so that I don't get burned. Mm-hmm. And then I just pull the edges up over the template, and press them in place, and they stay crisply turned under, and then I pull the template out, and the edges stay folded under. And then the best part is that I developed a glue and adhesive that I use to baste all of my pieces onto my background so that I'm ready to stitch.
Yeah, tell me about that, because I like glue basting also. To keep all my shapes down when I'm doing handwork. What propelled you to develop your own basting glue?
Well, you know, I looked at a lot of my quilts that I had hanging up, and I thought, you know, those have glue in them. I was using another product. I've used mm-hmm. a lot of different adhesives over the years, mm-hmm. and a lot of my quilts just had glue sitting in there because they weren't quilts that I washed. They were show pieces, or they may be a wall hanging or something like that you don't wash, or at least not very often. And so the glue was still sitting in there. And I got thinking about that, and so I wanted to develop something that was safe to leave in your quilt, but would wash out if you wanted to. And so the glue I developed is called Apple Glue, and it's archival quality. It's safe to leave in your quilt, and if you want to wash it out, it is water soluble. But you will never notice it. And the best part is this little applicator tip, which you dispense the glue with, is mm-hmm. really tiny. So you just use a teeny tiny drop, smaller than a pinhead, about every half inch in your seam allowance, and glue it down. It holds really well, and it'll stay glued down for as long as it takes for you to get around to stitching it.
I really like glue basting. I like your product a lot. The applicator is nice and you're welcome. The applicator is nice and thin, so
right.
you don't want big blobs of glue when you're glue basting.
But you don't want to have to stitch through them, and you don't want to see them. Plus,
right.
it dries clear, and then the applicator tip can screw off and on the bottle so that you can wash it out and it doesn't clog. It's really turned out to be a nice product. The tip doesn't rust if you need to clean it out, and it because it's tapered, it allows the glue to drain back down into the bottle instead of getting caught
mm-hmm.
up in a vacuum, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, that's important because, you don't want to pick it up and you're all ready to grow, but then you got to go clean the whole applicator
right,
thing out.
Right, right. And don't you like
insane.
Being able to glue all your pieces down and you don't have to look at your pattern again? You don't have to have anything else with you. It just makes your project completely portable.
Yeah, that's the part I super love. It's like no pins,
yeah.
no hand basting. It's the easiest thing ever. So you also have something called a polka dot. What is that?
Yeah, the polka dots, this is a pretty new little notion that I developed, and it's just a little sticky thimble. It's a little round piece of rubber. It's made of rubber. And you stick it on the end of your finger. It's not very big, about a quarter inch across. You can stick it wherever you get that hole in your finger when you're stitching. Every quilter knows where that is.
Yes.
And stick it right where that hole usually forms, and then you can push the back of your needle with it so that you don't get poked. And that's why we call them polka dots. And they come in a cute little round tin that you can use to store your needles and thread when you're appliquing, or even when you're sewing on bindings. Any handwork, you could use a polka dot to push your needle so that you don't, get poked. And then you can, the little sticky thimbles, they restick a couple of times. It depends how moist your hands are or how hot it is. But I can re-stick them 3 or 4 times, and then when they stop sticking, I throw it away and get a new one.
That's always the best part. Throw it away, get a new one.
That's right. Disposable.
Yeah. So you have done quite a few quilts for American Patchwork and Quilting magazine, family magazines, and if people go to allpeoplequilt.com, they can put your name in the search box. I love your little houses. Can you tell me real quick about the little row
for
houses
sure.
that you did?
Yeah, the original quilt. Now, the one that shows up on the website is a free pattern, and that's just the one row of the houses.
Mm.
But the original quilt had houses going around a center square, and it was called Around the Town.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really popular quilt. I sold hundreds of those kits. I still have a few available. That quilt used one of my fabric lines called Elizabeth Letters, and it's a really sweet fabric, and the project turned out so nice. It's just got these cute little houses around a center block that has some applique, and then on the outside edge there's some vinyl.
It's absolutely gorgeous, Jill. I just absolutely love it.
Thank you.
Now, tell me, we're just about done here. You know, your newest fabric line, what's it called and who's it with?
Okay, well, I design fabric for Henry Glass, and my newest line is called Beyond the Gate, and that will be out in stores in September. This is my fifth or sixth line, can't remember which, but that's a really fun thing that I do, and I love being able to promote my fabrics and use them in my quilt designs. It's just the best.
And you have a new book coming out, right, this fall?
Yep, new book called Home Sweet Quilt with Martingale. And they can pre-order it on my website, but it doesn't come out till September. And I wanted to tell your listeners that if they want a 20% discount on my website, if they type in the coupon code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O, then they can get a discount on anything on my website for the next week or so.
Well, thank you, Jill. This has been a wonderful time talking to you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, Pat. It's nice to chat with you.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We'll be right back.
Join Beth for video demonstrations of the latest and greatest quilting products. Visit allpeoplequilt.com and click on Tool School.
Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is. Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain, showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anie LaVoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Enter the Ulfa Refresher Tools Sweepstakes to win essential quilting tools and start your next project fresh. The prize is worth over $200 and includes a rotating rotary mat, 6x24 ruler, circle cutter, rotary cutter, and precision scissors. Go to facebook.com/APQ magazine and click on Ulfa Refresher Tools Sweepstakes to enter. Hurry! The sweepstakes end June 30th. See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. On this segment, I'm very excited. I have Nanette Merrill, who is the voice behind the blog Frida's Hive. Nanette is like so clever. She is, you know, has a color sense that I love because she takes things that are kind of vintagey, but she makes them fresh and really today. She also is super generous with sharing, you know, how she designs and her thought process about the projects she makes. So this is going to be a really fun segment with having Nanette here to give us all these little tips and things, because you're going to want to hang out with her all the time. Hi, Nanette. I'm so glad you're here.
Hi, Pat. I'm so glad to be here, too.
Now, one of the things that you told me when we were chatting was that you're a quilt enthusiast, and one of the things is that you love vintage. How long have you been quilting? Do you have, like, a lot of vintage quilts?
You know, I started quilting gradually in the late 90s out of making quilts for necessity, and I was always drawn to vintage colors and vintage schemes and fabric. Because of of what I like, and I've always brought that into quilts. And fabric has changed so much that when I started quilting, I couldn't find new fabric that I liked, so I turned to vintage.
Ah, now the fabrics have really changed, haven't they?
Oh, my gosh. In the early 2000s, I was buying Aunt Gracie, and that was about all you could find that I liked. But I didn't like the fact that I was really limited to small prints. So in the mid-2000s, I started looking at Japanese reproduction fabric because they had what I wanted. And so I really love Japanese vintage fabric. Well, reproduction, I should say. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, now you can get so many fabrics that are just what I'm looking for.
Tell me, we're going to talk a little bit more about fabric selection and things like that. But first, tell me how you got your name, Frida's Hive. That's your site, fridashive.blogspot.com. It's such an adorable name.
Well, my mom's name is Frida, and she isn't with me anymore. And she taught me everything I know, just like every other quilter out there. We all learned from our moms or grandmothers or somebody we loved. And my mother made everything in our home, from bathing suits to the drapes. And
oh, my.
I was the youngest by 7 years, so she drug me along everywhere. And we went to fabric stores and quilting bees and did all these projects together. So I kind of grew up really loving those things, you know. And then I started having children and stopped really doing some of the sewing I used to do. And then when my kids started going away, I had more time. And so I started looking at blogs, and I thought, you know, I've got something to share as well. So I named the blog Frida's Hive in honor of my mother. And the hive part comes from the fact that I've got 8 children, and I grew up with 4 sisters, and we were always cooking together and sewing together and doing so many things together, and my house is crazy, so it's kind of a hive.
I like that crazy part. You know, with that many people, you probably have somebody there all the time.
All the time. I have 2 granddaughters now, and there's always somebody living here, coming back, going. There's always something going on here. And I love that. I think that's why I had 8 kids. You know, who in their right mind would have 8 children? So it's the crazy part of me.
Do any of them quilt? Have you passed the bug along to any of your kids?
You know, some of them do. My oldest daughter is a great quilter. She's very meticulous, and she loves applique, and she's so perfect at it. You know, how sometimes your kids do what you do, but only better. And that's kind of how I feel about her. My second daughter's a knitter. And then the other girls sometimes do some projects. And my last few kids are terrible. They only like to do sports. So, but, you know, you never give up on them. Someday they may take it up. And I really believe that those things should be passed along.
You can just keep dangling fabric in front of them, Nanette.
Absolutely. You know? And, you know, some of them really like fabric. And they aren't really ready yet, but they will be.
Yeah. So let's talk about how you take these fabrics that you're finding now, let's say within like the past couple of years, because your variety is immense now. When you go shopping, in order to create sort of the new quilt like you make, but in that vintagey feel, what do you look for in the fabrics?
You know, I look for scale and color and inspiration. I have to look at a fabric and have to have it. And that's where I gather my pattern inspiration. And I am a pattern designer, but I also always gather it at the ground roots from fabric and from color. So when I'm shopping, I look for something that just catches my eye, that something that is a fabric I've got to have. And that's really where a whole quilt may start out with just one little piece of fabric.
So do you find that there's a particular colorway you're more drawn to? I know you've been working lately with more like sort of blues and reds and whites, sort of the aquamarine blue. Is that a favorite of yours?
When I started out quilting, I used pinks and greens. And just like your taste changes in things, my taste has changed to really pull in blues and reds and yellows and whites. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I tend to go for more of a pure color rather than a muted shade or a pastel. I used to love pastels, and I still do. But right now, I'm just so into, well, red. Red is is kind of my core color, and then everything comes out from there.
Now, you are a pattern designer, and people can go to your website, and they can click over and find, you know, the fabulous patterns that you have for sale. And I want you to talk about one of your newest ones, which was done for Miss Pam Kitty Mornings fabric line. Tell me a little bit about how that partnership happened.
Well, you know, really, when I design a quilt, I very rarely stick to one line, one new line. Like, I just don't go to the store and say, oh, I'm going to buy everything in this line, just because I really love to mix things up. And most all my quilts have at least one piece of vintage fabric. But Pam has been a friend of mine and an inspiration. I started looking at her blog. I started blogging in 2007, and so she was one of the first blogs that I looked at before I started to blog. And we just seem to have the same eye for things. Things she would put on her blog are the same kind of things that I would make. So I was really excited when Pam and partnered with Holly from Lake House to come up with her line of Pam Kitty Morning Fabrics. I couldn't wait for them to come out because I knew that it was a line that I would love every single fabric. And it was true. And so when Pam's fabric came was ready to come out, she and I got together online, and I got her fabric, and I knew immediately that I wanted to make a row-by-row quilt. I had been wanting to make a row-by-row quilt for a while, so each row has a different block, and I've used Pam's fabric exclusively for that quilt.
Yeah, I love it. You've got baskets and stars and houses, and it has that vintage feel, but fresh. And I think that the white background helps a lot, like the white backgrounds in the fabrics. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I think white is something that your eye has to rest on. A lot of people use off-white, but I'm really into the pure white. I just think it makes everything look clean and fresh, and so that's how vintage fabric shows off best, in my opinion, or vintage modern is, because that white gives it that fresh feel.
Yeah, the little houses are so adorable, Nanette, with the little windows that move on them. They're in different spots. So clever.
You know, I rarely set out designing a whole entire quilt on paper. I sketch ideas on grid paper, but then as I go, I tend to change up blocks or make adjustments, and that was one of the adjustments I made in that quilt. I just felt like it would be fun to put a window in a different place in the house, just one window. So they're simple, and I really feel like simple is best. Sometimes quilts have so many tiny pieces in, but that's not me. I like more simple patterns, because I think it really lets the fabric star.
You are also doing right now on your site a tribute to London, which the blocks are just amazing. How is that coming along for you? Are you further along than the pictures you've shown?
Oh, thanks, Pat. I'm glad you like it. I subscribe to the Pam Sloan method of 10 minutes a day. That's how I'm getting this quilt done right now. I'm not that much farther along, but I do work on things every day. I read that quote from you, and it has inspired me. And so I do add simple things onto my patterns, even if I'm not able to work too much on them. But that quilt is in progress. I wanted to have it a little further along by now, since the Queen's Jubilee is over. But the Olympics are on us, and so I felt like this was a fun quilt that I could take through this year, and I've named it London 2012. I found out that I am one quarter British, and so, you know, sometimes people are mutts and wear lots of different things, but I am just three things. So I'm Slovakian, British, and I'm... well, I'm half Slovakian, British, and so it kind of gave me a start that I wanted to do something as a tribute for my heritage. So I made a heritage quilt last year that showed my Danish side and showed all these different flags that I come from. And then this year when the Queen was having her jubilee, I thought, okay, I'm going to take everything from London, make it into a block, that things I love, like the buses, the double-decker buses, mm-hmm. the Queen's crowns, and I'm going to make it into a quilt. The one thing that really inspired me, again, was fabric for this. I've had this feed sack that is of the Queen's coronation. She's in a dress, and it's like just a piece of fabric that has several vignettes of the Queen on it. And so that's really going to be the star of this quilt.
I just love that part, that you have a focus for it, and then you've collected around a theme. Themes are awesome, aren't they, Nanette?
They are, and usually my quilts are theme-based. Lots of times they're kitchen quilts or something like that. I've picked out something that I'm interested in, and then I design a whole quilt around it, and the fabric, again, is usually the star.
Well, Nanette, this has been wonderful. I thank you so much for coming on and sharing a bit about your patterns and your design process.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity, Pat. I've loved talking to you. I loved meeting you at Quilt Market last year, so this has been really fun.
So everybody should go out and visit fridashive.blogspot.com and keep up with Nanette, see what she's doing next. Watch out for that new pattern. So we're going to take a little break. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll be right back. We actually have a few more seconds before the break, so I wanted to go ahead and tell you about a feature that we have out on allpeoplequilt.com. It is called the Tip of the Day. And on the left sidebar of the website, you can see it under the Find It topic. So it's called Tip of the Day. And I thought I'd read a few of them to you because you can get this at our website or at our Facebook page. So one of the tips that we have, like for today, is sew on the best machine you can afford. This was from Cindy Taylor Oates, a designer. And she says she thinks everyone should sew on the best machine they can afford. There's nothing more frustrating than a machine that doesn't work properly. If you buy a new machine, take advantage of any classes that come with it. And I think all of you could agree with that one. You know, I right now have a new machine, and I am learning all of its features. There's another really, really good tip is to relax and enjoy a new sewing technique. Sometimes when you're learning something new, it can be a little bit crazy. You know, maybe you don't enjoy it quite as much because you're in the learning mode and it's really intense, isn't it? Well, this tip is from Renee Plains, one of our fabulous designers who contribute. And she says, when I'm trying a new technique or pattern, I remind myself that imperfections are part of the charm of vintage quilts. That takes the pressure off so I can relax and enjoy my stitching. Now we're going to take our break, and when we come back, Roseanne Kermes of Rosebud's Cottage is coming on, and we're going to talk a lot of things, so we'll see you in a minute.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs and Baby's Going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I want to welcome to the show Roseanne Kermes, who is a designer, a shop owner, and a teacher. Roseanne has been on several times, and she is a regular contributor to the family of magazines at American Patchwork. And I'm just, you know, it's always so fun to have Roseanne on because she comes with a unique look at quilting because of being in the industry a long time, and she wears a lot of different hats. she looks at things differently than someone who just sort of does one part of the job. So, Roseanne, how are you today?
Not a bad, Pat. Thanks a lot for having me come on. It was fun listening to Nanette and Jill. I haven't heard them speak before, and very interesting women, I thought.
I just love them. I love them. They're so creative, and they both work in, you know, they're really, their passion is quilting. Could you tell?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very definitely, and especially with Nanette having 8 children and still finding motivation and time, you know, to fit quilting into her life. I mean, that's inspiring in itself, I think.
I agree. And, you know, I had so many people write and say, I can't wait to hear what Nanette sounds like, you know, because they read her blog and they don't know what her voice is like. So I'm sure she made a lot of people happy that they know what she sounds like.
Oh. Don't you think that's kind of the best part of the show is, you know, we see everybody's names in print or we see what they write. But then when you hear a voice, it kind of changes how you feel about that person.
Right. It connects the dots, I think.
Yeah.
Because you know what they look like, you know what their work is like, and you're reading their writing, whether it's in the magazines or on their websites or their blogs, and then all of a sudden it's like the whole package gets connected when you hear their voice.
Yep, exactly.
So today, Miss Roseanne, we are going to talk about a whole lot of fun things doing to deal with fabric, you know, because that's what we love about quilting. You know, when you're doing your job as either a teacher or a shop owner, when you're having people, you know, coming in and hanging out, what is like the number one thing they always seem to need help with?
You know, it's funny you said that because we had a beginner class on Wednesday, and during the class, one woman came and she said, the hardest thing for me to do is to pick fabric. And what I always tell people is to walk around the store and find the one piece of fabric that just kind of speaks to them. I love what Nanette said about how the fabric inspires her. You need to find that one that's just kind of your fabric. And then we can take it from there. A lot of times I think, quilters, I don't care if they're new or have been quilting for a million years, it's hard to get past the cover photo that, you know, is for that pattern. And I really think if you find that one piece that is kind of your fabric, it's easy for us then to go around and find the other pieces to fill in the blanks, you know, to make the quilt kind of, you know, come to be yours, but and come to be your style,
right,
but still not go too far away from what the pattern calls for.
And I think using the pattern as inspiration, whether it's like a high contrast pattern, so your fabric choices, if you like the high contrast, then you want to duplicate that. You don't want to mush it out if that isn't what is attracting you to the pattern.
Yeah. You know, I think, too, that when a customer sees a sample that we have, they get so caught up in, I want the project to look exactly like yours, that it's very intimidating to kind of walk away from that and try and imagine what it's going to be like in, you know, in other fabrics. And let me tell you, I'm the same way. I agonize over fabric choices when I'm trying to recreate a pattern for a sample for the store. And every now and then, I don't make the right decision. And you know what? It's okay. It's just, it's a learning experience. Just did that recently. You know, for us, it's a way to be able to tell people, don't be afraid. We all make mistakes. And I have plenty of those to show around the store. But it's hard sometimes.
We all do. Yeah. And it's really great to show why this one isn't as spectacular maybe as you would have hoped it would have been.
Or maybe it was just, the project I'm thinking of recently, the wrong piece was in the wrong place. I should have switched fabrics and put two fabrics in different places, and it would have made all the difference. But I, you know, at the time it was hard to figure that out. So.
And when I'm working with people in a workshop environment, one of the things I like to tell them is, just like you, find that piece that you love and then start branching off, but build your palette sort of together on the table. You know, bring everything there so that it looks marvelous before you do anything. Like if there's pieces sticking out at you, those need to come out.
One of the things that we do at our cutting table is we'll take that one piece of fabric that's the inspiration and keep that back, and then we'll stack all the rest with the bolts, with the biggest part showing out. And then we lay stand up the that inspiration bolt right next to it. And then you can start to see, which colors fit or don't fit.
That's
sometimes
perfect.
You have a kind of wonky little color in there, and when you look at it with the rest of the colors, it's like, well, who would have thought of that? But you see a little piece in that inspiration fabric that is the reason why you've chosen that fabric. And a lot of times it's only going to be for a small piece, but you want to have that color kind of pop out. And,
right.
It's a little easier to visualize when we do it that way. And it's, easier to see. The other thing I like to do is snap a picture of it. And
I was
look
just
going to
say that.
Yeah.
Isn't your camera like your best friend anymore? Everybody should have a camera.
Yeah.
Why
does it look so different? That's what I can't figure out. Why does the one that's the wrong piece show out when you take the photo? You're standing right there. I just don't get it.
I know. It's just like waving at you when you take the photo. You're like, hello, I don't belong in here. Take me out.
Yeah.
Like... Well, let's talk a little bit about quilts that use bigger shapes, because it is a different process in my mind anyways to deal with a quilt where you're going to have really big shapes. In the August issue of American Patchwork and Quilting 2012, there is Malka Dubrowski is featured, and she has a quilt called Supersized Shoe Fly, and it's huge blocks. What kind of advice do you have? These are big shapes. It's holding a lot of fabric in them.
Yeah, well, and when you look at the picture of that project, the thing that unifies all those fabrics, because no two fabrics in that quilt are alike, there's orange and lime green and a cherry color and blue, brown. The unifier is that one white color. And I think when you are picking fabrics for those big giant blocks, to have one color kind of be the quiet color that holds the whole quilt together. From a sewing and standpoint, I think when you're cutting pieces like that, because I looked at the pattern, there's some really big pieces cut there. Cut accurately and sew accurately and press accurately in order to maintain the shape of that block and the integrity of it, because you're sewing and piecing, and that is what's going to really make it. I think a block that big actually will probably show more little mistakes than a smaller block,
Yeah, your eye will probably go right to it, because this is also high contrast fabrics with the white background and the dark color. I mean, it's major contrast to I do agree. I think if you want to be careful, because otherwise you'll just be looking at that spot every time you look at the quilt.
Yes, but you have to admit, when you have blocks that big, and I forgot what the size of those blocks were.
I think they're 12 inch.
Yeah, they're pretty big. That quilt goes together pretty fast.
Yeah.
You can make a four block baby quilt, a really fast wedding quilt, if you're a quick sewer. I think those large blocks too are less intimidating to new quilters, because it looks more doable. I know when I first started to quilt that if it was under a certain size, I think 9 inches was like the max that I would go down, I started to get really nervous about being able to do it. And I think when new quilters or people are kind of refreshing their skills and they stay around that, 9, 12, 14, 16 range for a block, it gives them a little more feeling of confidence. And the ability to match up your seams a little bit easier because the pieces are bigger, not so crowded in.
Yeah, this is actually a 33-inch block.
Its
pieces are 12. I just was reading it here. So, yeah. So it's
a big block.
It's a big block.
Yeah, I think now, so. That one, you have to be careful.
You would use up a lot of fabric, too, to... get in your stash and really go to town.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be great? I know so many of us have a lot of fabric, especially like a lot of fabrics that, you want to use but aren't oh, you need the right project. You want to maybe show them off because the fabric is so large, or it has like a cool design, or maybe it's a novelty fabric that right. you know, you're just dying to use. Mm-hmm. And it's a great way to pair it with some of those other ones that are kind of fun, and then use one color to hold them all together.
Yeah, then another quilt that's out there is called Urban Attitude on the website, and that was the actual sample is using Jill Finley's fabric in it, and the quilter was Mary Pepper, I think. But this one has big rectangles. So
is that the one called the Two Block Citrus?
Yes, yes,
yes.
And if you go online, you can do Urban Attitude too to find it.
Yes, yeah. You know what I liked about that one is it really was only four colors mm-hmm. in that quilt. Mm-hmm. It was a cherry, a red, green,
and yellow.
Oh, and cream, like a white color. Okay, five. I can't count. But they were laid out in rows, so like. Or diagonal rows, I guess, so like the yellows
right.
kind of went together. And that kind of tamed down how scrappy it was.
Mm-hmm. And it pulls it together. It keeps your eye looking at it and not being overpowered by the big shapes that are there,
yeah.
the big sizes.
Or sometimes if it was too scrappy, you know, you may not be able to see the shapes of those blocks, too.
Yeah, the big shapes, they tend to, if they're too scrappy, then it just sort of all mushes and you don't get that definition of the design. So I think that's a good tip. We're going to take a little break, Roseanne. And when we come okay. back, we'll talk some more.
Okay, sounds good.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns, all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
Win quilting supplies worth over $1,200. Enter the 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge sweepstakes for your chance to win tons of fabric, books, tools, and more. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases to enter.
Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm talking with designer, shop owner, and teacher, Roseanne Kermes. So, Roseanne, I just... I'm so excited every time the Quilt Sampler magazine comes out. Do you get like a frenzy going when you know that issue is coming out?
Well, we did the year that I was in Quilt Sampler.
Yes, I was just going to say congratulations. Do you remember what year that was?
It was fall of 2004, and we were in the premier issue of the fall issue. That was the first one that they did in the fall. So it was a big thing. And I'll tell you, I get goosebumps thinking about it. And I remember the photo session like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And I remember when the magazine came out and how much fun it was. And it was just a very exciting time. I'm excited that three of my quilting friends will have their stores in the fall issue. So I'm so happy that they'll get to experience everything that I did.
Yeah.
It's really, really, truly an honor to be, you know, to be invited to be part of that magazine. So I appreciate that I was part of it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I love that there's generally 10, 11 stores that are featured, and there's a new one, new sort of segment to the quilt sample now called the Encore, where they go and revisit a shop that was in a previous year, which I really like that feature.
Well, I think over time, too, stores change. You know, a store is never going to be the same as it was the day that they came out to do the photo shoot. And it's going to have a whole new look as they've evolved. And a lot of those stores, it's been a while since they were in. And it's just fun to see, you know, what are they like today? How have they changed? How have they adapted to meet the new needs and desires for the quilters and things? So this is very fun to see that. I'm glad that they added that feature to it.
Yeah, when we were talking about the big blocks, there's a couple of quilts with big shapes in here with the spring summer issue 2012. Mm-hmm. One of them was the Happy Go Lucky, which I thought was pretty cute.
Who was that one from?
That one was from, I'm not getting to it fast enough. The Lofty Goals, Port Gamble, Washington, Quilted Straight.
Okay.
Used a really fun novelty print, like you were mentioning earlier, and then pulled colors from that, used white as a balancing color. So it's a great quilt. People have to check that one out.
Oh, I see it now. I'm online looking for it. Yeah, you're right. That is a cute quilt. I'm on the website too. You know, this one part of the website shows how they quilted it, really close up details. That's a pretty quilt. That quilt, it really is aptly named because those fabrics are really cheerful, and then that white background is very, very pretty. Love how that looks.
It does exactly what we talked about, where it holds it together and it's not, you know, it's not too mushy and all your colors are clear. So everybody should be checking out the quilt sampler issue because, you know, we save them too. Everybody saves them and then they go through and they look for everything they want. At least that's what I do.
I think they're fun to go back. I have all of them since the beginning and they're fun to go back and look at. There's so much information in them. It's very fun.
Right. Patterns and tips and everything. Mm-hmm. So now another thing I wanted to talk about today was a little bit of behind the scenes, because you've had an opportunity and I've had an opportunity at times to sort of go to a business behind the scenes. And I thought it'd be fun to share what that's like. You've been to Moda's facility, Moda Fabric Company. So what kind of things do you remember that you could tell us about at the behind the scenes at Moda? What impressed you?
I was at their facility for an event about almost 2 years ago, and they let us go into their warehouse and stuff where they roll their fabric. And I've been in other warehouses as well where fabric is pulled off the tubes and rolled into onto bolts and stuff. And I think the thing that is consistent no matter which one of these facilities you go into is that the situation is ergonomically correct for their workers. All the conveyor belts, the machines are all set up so they're kind of waist level so people aren't bending and stretching. And there's a lot of foot controls and things so that it's easy for the operators to use the machines. And the cleanliness, that's the other thing that I think seems to be a consistent thread no matter which company you go into, is how clean everything is. You know, when you think about it, they're working with your fabric that you're going to use in your quilt. You want things to be a certain way. You don't want to have it in a musty building or have, you know, conditions that aren't as good as you like. The thing at Moda, I bet you there's somebody who's just in charge of dusting and cleaning like 24 hours a day because the place is spotless. Have you been to their warehouse?
I have not been there yet. I need to do that. I really want to go. I've not been close enough yet to visit it. I've seen pictures online, and they have like a sewing area too, I think, at Moda.
They have another building that Mr. Dunn built, I believe, as an education center. Mm-hmm. And in that building, he has started to display some of the quilts from his quilt collection. And I don't know if they were put out there specifically for the event that I attended. This was something for shop owners, so I don't know if they were just for that or if this was where he was intending to archive them as well, because apparently he has a very extensive collection of quilts. He had a lot of crazy quilts that I thought were very interesting. I know that in the offices, there was a room that, oh my gosh, I would have loved to have locked myself in there. It was books and, textiles. It was everything so a designer could go in there and do a historical research of a fabric or something, so they could kind of use that as a springboard for their own fabric. Fascinating place. They had lace and all kinds of just different things that they've collected over time in their travels and stuff, and have archived it in this library. Let me think.
Very neat. One of the places I visited behind the scenes in a way was just the office area of like the P&B textiles. And what I liked seeing in there was where the artists work, because they had a tremendous amount of lighting, natural lighting. Mm-hmm. So, and then besides that, they had this gigantic design wall, and then they had floodlights on that, which had natural, like the lights that give off natural light, so that they could put fabrics up on the wall and look at them in true color.
Well, and for what they do, I mean, you have to have that kind of that kind of lighting and stuff in order for the end product to be true. You know, I had no idea that they had that kind of thing there. Did you go to when we were in Kansas City? Did you go to the Kansas City Star to look at their facility?
I did. Did you attend that? Did you go over?
No,
there?
I went someplace else.
No. Yeah, the Kansas City Star, newspaper. It has a long history of quilt patterns, and they did an open house, inviting, besides having just a display, which was open during the whole time, they had an evening open house that I was invited to for celebrating the authors, the Kansas City Star authors, which was amazing. So we were in like the newspaper building, and they had like two floors worth of, event, and a long display of quilts from the books, like the Blackbird designs and the Lizzie B. Creative girls. All kinds of their authors gave the quilts from the books, and then they had them hanging. So, it was so fun to see quilts that I've loved in the books that I own, and then get to see the quilt in person.
They look totally different in person than they do in the book. You know, the photography is beautiful, but there's something magic about seeing the photography in the book and the quilt with it as well. That's very fun.
Yeah, everybody always says that to me. It's like, oh, it looks different than the book, but they do the best they can, but there's still not the dimension. You can't have dimension on a flat paper. So where did you go?
I went to Fabric Quilt. Fabric Quilt at Paintbrush Studios, they have their facilities in Kansas City as well. And the thing that I didn't know about them, in addition to fabric and stuff, they have a whole part of their building that just makes batting. And so it was interesting to see how they went through the process of taking just kind of fluff and making it into bats that go into quilts and stuff, because they sell to a company that sells to quilters. But also they do a lot of commercial batting for cart haul garments. They did all kinds of stuff, but that whole process of how they made batting was just so cool. It was I had no idea that there was so many steps to it. The other thing they had was because of some of the work they do, they take that batting and they manufacture it into other things. And so they had these big, giant long arm quilting machines. And these are nothing like a long arm that quilters that we know use. Multiple spools of thread. Amazing. It was just very interesting to see all that. Another company too like that, and that company also had good lighting. There was one floor, it was windows everywhere you look, because there were a lot of people sewing up in that floor, and it was fun to see all the light coming in and the big work tables. And I'll tell you, as cute as I love my workshop, I would have died to have light and giant tables like that to work on.
I know. I would die to have a bigger space, to have more. You do have a pretty big space, Roseanne, you know, in your hideout. But yeah. And you have a store that's with a ballroom above it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Oh, yeah, the ballroom's coming up, but almost done being renovated. So we're excited about that. But yeah, you're right. My hideout is pretty big, but you know, it's like anything else. The more room you have, the more junk you collect. And I'm decluttering. That's my job today, so I can get on to the next project and stuff. So,
it's a constant thing, the decluttering.
Well,
you know, this has been fun to talk about. I have one other quick behind the scenes. I was able to go to Checker Distributor, which is something that, I mean, all the shops know that's one of the places that they can order things. And I was there for an open house where I was doing presentations. And it was just fabulous that they had grocery carts to shop with.
Oh, yes. They had that. I went to E.E. Shank last fall. And it was the same thing there that, you know, you just put your name on the cart and you walk it around, and it really is like grocery shopping, only on a bigger scale. You know,
normally people will order from there. Your local quilt shop will place their orders, but you know, they do have open houses for the stores occasionally. So it's fun to see the behind how it all works, and so seamlessly usually. So it's really nice.
It's amazing how those big companies make it all work together, mm-hmm. and it doesn't seem that hard on our end and stuff. So
right.
Hey, well, can I put in a plug?
Real quick.
Buzzworthy Pincushions. I'm Miss May in the 2013 calendar. So the American Patrick calendars just started coming out. So
fabulous. Thank you, Roseanne.
Yep, talk to you soon.
This is All American. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll see you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.